Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs 18, in your Scofield Bible, page 685. Beginning with verse 17, we'll read through the end of the chapter. And that 24th verse at the end is the text verse for this morning's message. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 17 through 24. We'll read the verses responsively. And let's stand, please, as we always do, for the reading of God's Word. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's pray. Lord, we sure love this place. It's a great feeling to come into this crowd and enter into this building knowing that we have once again the opportunity to hear from Thee. Thank You for Your Word, and thank You for the power of it, the power to change lives. And we know that all of us need something of Thy Word today. Thank You for preparing that which we have this morning. You gave it before the foundations of the world, and You've allowed it to lodge in the heart and mind of our preacher to give to us today. Give us attentiveness. Help us to listen on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is 11:41. We are about 15 minutes behind schedule, which is always the case on the Lord's Supper Day. I always tell you this, and you know I always keep my word about this. I'll be finished speaking not 1 minute later than 12:10. Not 1 minute later than 12:10. We will close the service not 1 minute later than 12:30. We always close the service close to the 12:30 hour, especially in our fall and springtime program. So I promise you, and you, those of you who are here, who have been here through these years, know that I keep this promise. It is 11:42. I'll be speaking, start the sermon about 11:44, 11:45. And by 12:10, we will have finished the sermon. That is a promise, and you will see that it'll be kept, and you will see it's true. So relax, don't wonder. When about 12:05 comes, and I'm still on the introduction, you say, when is this guy going to get started? Don't worry about it. By 12:10, I'll be through. And by 12:30, we will be finished with everything. And at least we will dismiss the service by 12:30. Now, the next 25 minutes are going to change your life. If you listen to every word I say, the next 25 minutes is going to change your life. I'm speaking this morning on developing real friendship. Now listen carefully to me. I'm a very fortunate man. Not many people in this life are privileged to find out who their real friends are. I have been privileged in the last 18 months to find out who my friends are. The people who belong to this church this morning, who are sitting in this room, are my friends. They prove that friendship. And they're my friends. There's not a man in the world, I believe I can say this honestly, who has more true friends than I have. I preached Thursday and Friday in Jacksonville, Florida area, in Orange Park, Florida. For the Dan Linden Hall, who's financing the sermon, volumes of sermons, a vine that'll be out, went with me. We got to the motel room, And Dan Mendenhall looked and saw my room and even his that they had prepared. And he said, after I'd been there for, we'd been there a few hours and he saw how they treated me, he said, "Are you treated this way everywhere you go?" And I said, "I'll guarantee you, maybe not exactly like this, but I'm treated almost this way to this extent everywhere I go." You know why? Because all across this country, I have been privileged to find out who my friends are. Most people never have that privilege. But God has privileged me to allow me to know who my friends are. I know something about making true friends. I can help you. I will this morning if you cooperate simply by listening. Father, bless this message. There's not a person in this room this morning doesn't want a friend or friends. And I believe today, in the next 25 minutes or so, they can find out. So give me their attention, and I promise I'll pay attention to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every person in this room this morning wants to have a friend. Every one of us would like to have real friends. And the truth is, most people in this world never have one real friend. I'll guarantee you 99% of the people in this room this morning could count your real friends on the fingers of your right hand. I'm the exception. I have hundreds and thousands of real friends. I want to show you how to have them. Not only do I have real friends, but I also know how they're gotten. And I'm going to show you this morning how you can develop real friends. Let me say, by way of introduction, you cannot do it. You cannot choose someone with whom you'd like to be close and say, "Let's go out and have a meal every week together and develop a friendship." You can't do that. You see, real friends are a work of God. They're God-given. You cannot earn a friend or win a friend. Now, you can win acquaintances, and you can win people whose presence you enjoy. But real, solid friendship is a gift of God. Now hear me, if you get any friends in life, if you have any friends in life, real friends, friends who will stick by you through thick and thin, closer than a brother, as the Bible says, they will not be won by your personality or your charisma. They will be given to you as a gift from your God. But I can tell you what you can do to engage God to do His work of giving you a friend. Don't miss that statement. I cannot tell you how to make friends. And Mr. Carnegie's book on how to make friends or win friends, influence people, is foolishness. He's not talking about friends. He's talking about customers. He's talking about acquaintances. He's talking about people who have personal charisma and whom you enjoy. But God's not talking about that. First place, you don't win friends. You don't make friends. They're a gift of God. Now, the statement I made a while ago is very vital. I said, I can tell you what you can do to engage God to do His work of giving you a real friend or real friends. Follow me carefully. A group of people work on a bus route. All are excited. All those people are working for a certain goal. And then one day, one of those people really sees these bus people as people. He hurts with them, and more than working a bus route just to make a goal, all of a sudden, it becomes a life to him. And that person is different from all the other bus workers. You folks that have bus captains and division leaders, you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, there are lots of people that work bus routes, and that's wonderful. But occasionally, somebody will all of a sudden, his heart will be just torn out for those people. Then, are you listening? Then, one day, that one who is different from the others notices another worker who weeps at the same time he weeps. And all of a sudden, he sees himself in that other worker. He sees another worker who feels like he feels. Now, the other people, all those other workers, bus workers, they love those kids and love those poor people and love the bus riders. But this fellow is different. It's a life with him. Like Mrs. Castile, who sang a while ago. It's no ministry with Mrs. Castile and Roger Castile. I mean, it's a life with him. And all of a sudden, here's a worker who rises above the others and becomes his heart is broken by the condition of the community and by the poverty of the area and by the disadvantages those little children have. And all of a sudden, he is absolutely gripped and it becomes a life to him. His heart, his mind, his body, his soul is wrapped up in that bus ministry. And then one day, he sees another who acts just like he acts. He thought he was the only one. He says, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." If you're about to go to sleep, slap the guy next to you and wake him up. No time to sleep, time to listen. And so he says, "What? Me too? Him too? I thought I was the only one. I can't believe somebody else feels like I feel." Now what happens? When these two people discover each other, a friendship is born. Hey, you never heard anything more important in your life except the gospel than what I just said. I mean, you're whining around the country, and nobody loves me, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going out, eat worms, or eat some biggins and go on. But I'm telling you this morning how God gives friendship. When one person rises above the others in the burden for any kind of a ministry, and then one day finds somebody who is another him, and says, "I see myself in somebody," God then gives that person to, or gives those people to each other as friends, and a friendship is developed. Hey, let me hear something to say. When I was a young man, 29 years old, Dr. John R. Rice asked me if I would preach in a Soul of the Lord conference. Now, I was a novice. I preached at that conference, Dr. R.G. Lee, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Dr. Bill Rice, Dr. John Rice, in that conference. I was just a kid preacher. But Dr. Rice, somehow or other, he was knitted to me. He said, "Brother House, would you come to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and preach another Sword conference?" I did. He said, "Now, would you come to Coal Falls, Georgia, and then to Arkansas, John Brown University in Arkansas. Then would you come to Chicago for a conference in 1957 in Chicago?" And one day, Dr. Rice sat down and said, "Son, I want to talk to you." Hear me carefully. He said, "Son, for years I've carried all the churches in America on my shoulders. Paul called it the care of all the churches." He said, "Son, I see in you a young John Rice. I see in you what I used to be." And he said, "I believe that you have the care of all the churches to an extent already as a young man." And that moment, John Rice and I became friends. I never said, "I want to be John Rice's friend, and I'll do all I can to make him my friend." You can't do that. You can't earn friends. I never said, "I'd like for him to love me." No, sir. All I did was give myself to the cause of doing what I could to save this country. And I took what I best I could and lifted this old nation upon my shoulders and went up and down the land trying to stir preachers and churches to get people saved, to get enough people saved so God would not destroy America, so our kids would have a chance and our next generation would have a chance. And John Rice did the same thing. And one day John Rice looked at me and saw John Rice in me. And one day I looked at him and saw Jack Howells in him. And God said, "I've given you a friend." That's what friendship is all about. It is when two people discover each other who carry the same burden, above others about some particular object. For example, same is true of the Bible. You take the Word of God. There are some people who read this Bible every day, and that's good. But there are some people that read this Bible and love this Bible every day. I love to give, the other day, Dr. David Gibbs and I were preaching. I was down in Florida, and Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. David Gibbs, and others, and I went down to close out the conference, Friday morning, David Gibbs, the attorney, preached before I did. And he said, "Boy, I want to stay tonight and hear you again." He said, "I've got to have more of that." Well, good night. This guy is a world famous, the most famous Christian lawyer in the world. And see, he sat right down there on the front, right there on the front, Friday night. And I preached a great truth in the Bible. And brother, I want you to know, his heart was totally turned upside down. And after the service, he came and he said, "One of the greatest nights in my life. One of the great nights in my life. I never saw it like that before. That truth, I never saw it like that before." And we got in the car. He drove to the airport with us. And all he and I did was talk about the truth of the Bible. Man, I love that. I love it to find somebody who loves this book like I do. I love to find somebody who loves truths in this book like I do. And get with them. And talk with them. And occasionally, somebody who loves this book and searches out truths in this book all the time finds somebody and says, "He loves the book like I do." And that person says, "He loves the book like I do." And God says, "I'm giving you a friend." Now, that's the way you get friends. You don't think about getting friends. You get consumed and lost in some cause. And God finds somebody else that's consumed and lost in the same cause, and God knits your hearts together, go over a cause. That's why a lot of you folks aren't happily married. That's what's wrong with your marriage. You found somebody who's real pretty, and then try to find something in common. You don't do it that way. You get yourself lost in the cause. And somebody else you see is lost in a cause, in the same cause, and God makes you friends before He makes you lovers. If you're lovers before you're friends, you'll not be happy together. If you are friends before you're lovers, then you'll be happy. Hey, how many young men have stood with me outside this door, waiting to get married? And I'll say, "Boy, when did you first think you loved her?" And he'll look at me and say, "I've known her for years or months. We worked on the same bus route together. But you know when I really found out I loved her? When I saw her the first time working with those poor little kids. When I saw that love pour out of her soul. And I said to myself, why, that girl's not interested in just her makeup and her hairstyle and her clothes. That girl loves those little kids. And when I saw that she loved those kids like I love those kids, I knew I loved her." Now, we're going to have 1,000 unmarried middle-aged ladies surrender for the bus ministry in just a few minutes. Now, folks, look. I hurt this morning. I want to grab one of these microphones and whack you over the head with it and say, "Wake up. You can read all the books you want to read on friendship, and that won't give you one single friend." And by the way, when the world turns on you, And you're facing the wall, the kind of friends you win by Mr. Carnegie's book will turn on you like everybody else does. But when God gives you a friend, I said when God gives you a friend, that friend is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, you say again, how do you get them? I'll tell you how you get them. You lose yourself in a worthy cause. And then all of a sudden, you become more burdened about that cause than others. And all of a sudden, one day, you see somebody else that has a burden just like yours. And you say, "I see myself." And that's what a friend is. A friend is really another self. Another self. And God gives you another self and knits you together, just like He knitted John Rice and I together many, many years ago. And for 22 years, John R. Rice and Jack Hiles covered this country. They used to call us Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai and Zechariah were the two preachers at the end of the Babylonian captivity that went all over the country preaching. And Haggai was a wise old preacher, and Zechariah was a young loudmouth. And John Rice in those days was a young man, old man, and wise, and I was a loudmouth. And we'd go around the country preaching. And he'd preach on the whole fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I'd preach on you lays the devil start to work. And he'd preach on the power of prayer. And I'd preach on why don't you go out and build a church and build a bus route. He'd preach on depth. And I'd preach on zeal. He'd preach on the power of God. And I'd preach on the zeal of God. And all across this nation, people of God have been stirred. And there are thousands of preachers across America who've had their lives changed. Why? Because I did not seek a friend. I sought to save America as best I could. Why? Because John Rice sought a friend? Not in your life. John Rice sought no friend. John Rice sought a cause. And one day, while he was working in that cause, he looked over, and in the trench next to him was another young soldier. And he was fighting just like John R. Rice was fighting. And God said to that young man, "That man is another you." And he said to John Rice, "That young man is another you." And a friendship was developed. And I hunger for all of you to have friends like I have. But you won't get them your way, you'll get them God's way. Same thing is true with soul winning. Here's a person that loves the souls of men. Goes to the foster club, or the fisherman's club, or the candle of the Lord club, or goes out house to house soul winning with a group of people. And they all are going soul winning. But all of a sudden, somebody becomes more burdened about souls. Somebody weeps while others sleep. Somebody stays awake while others sleep and is burdened about the souls of men. And one day, that somebody who seems to be alone in his or her cause meets another and said, "Look at there. She's crying like I cry. She cares like I care." And that one looks and says, "There's another me." And she says, or he says, "There is another me." And the Holy Spirit of God comes and takes his needlework, and he takes your heart and knits it to the other, and takes the other and knits it to you. And bless God, you've got a friend that won't turn on you. I don't care if all hell comes at you. That friend won't turn on you. Friends I have across this country are legion. My preacher friends are legion. You know why they are? Most of them came to pastor school or came to Howells Anderson College. And they didn't find a preacher here trying to win them by charisma or personality. They found a man here, not a great preacher and not a great man, not a great pastor, but they found a sincere man who sincerely loved the souls of men. And here at pastor school or in our college or in some conference around the country, they somehow got a glimpse of that same burden, and they got that same burden, and they became another me, and I became another them, and God made us friends. Hallelujah! God is the friend giver. Same thing is true with prayer. First time I ever stayed with John Rice, in the same room. We always had different rooms. But I went to Tampa, Florida one night. I got there late. I was supposed to preach the next morning. Rice was already there. I checked into the motel in Tampa, Florida, and the lady's clerk said, "Mr. Dr. Howells, we have no room for you." Well, I said, "But ma'am, I'm a speaker at this convention over here." She said, "I don't care what you are, we have no room reserved for you." And I said, "Do you have a man named John R. Rice staying here?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Does he have two beds in his room or one?" She said, "Two." I said, "I'm going to sleep in the other one." "Well," she said, "it's after midnight. I can't let you barge in on John R. Rice." I said, "Give me the key. You won't have to let me. I'll do it by myself." And I walked in that room. Now, John Rice was not asleep yet when I got there. I thought he would be. It scared me to death because he's a great man of God. And I was a little penny-ante young kid preacher. And I just knew we'd have to read two hours of the Bible before we went to bed. I dreaded it. I hate to say it, but at midnight is just not my favorite time to read the Bible. Sometimes I do, but at that night I wanted to go to bed, go to sleep. I thought, oh my soul, came time to go to bed. I got my Bible out, looked real sanctimonious. Dr. Rice didn't get his out. He got one of Zane Grey's Western novels out. He read a chapter in Zane Grey's Western novel. I couldn't believe it. My hero. No Bible. Zane Grey. Then he didn't even pray. He got crawled in his bed, fluffed his pillow like that, put it behind him, leaned up like this, looked to the left, I don't know why, and looked to the right. He said, "Well, That's it. And within 10 seconds, he was snoring. In 10 seconds. I couldn't believe what I saw. About 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe 4, I was awakened by a groan. And I looked up between our beds. A big old man was kneeling there. And this is what he was saying. Oh, God, save this country. Oh, God, in this meeting, stir some preachers here in the Tampa, Florida area. Oh, God, bless this old nation. And I heard that man pray for an hour. He didn't know I knew it. I heard that man cry and pray over this nation for 1 hour. Wasn't long after that till I was out in the woods praying one day, and John Rice stumbled on me while I was praying. The next night he looked at me and he said, Brother Jack, he said, I heard you pray last night. And I said, Brother John, I heard you pray the other night. And I saw in him another me. And he saw in me another him. Now you say, okay, preacher, I'm going to start praying. That's not the issue. The issue is you do what God has called you to do with all your might. You forget friends. You help people. You be a friend. But you forget anybody being your friend. And one of these days, you'll look over and you'll see somebody else that's in your cause just like you are. And you'll say, I believe they believe this like I do. I believe they're as interested in this as I am. I believe they share my burden more than the other people do. Hey, I see somebody that I believe I could read the Bible with. I see somebody I believe I could pray with. I see somebody I believe I could go soul winning with. I see somebody I believe I could build a bus route with. And I see them. And all of a sudden, something on the inside says, he is like me. And he says, he is like me. And God says, I gave both of you that burden. And I gave you to each other as friends for life. And bless God, there's nothing in this world apart from salvation like having a real friend. That's the reason. Go back to Mrs. Castile and Roger Castile. That's the reason they're a model couple in marriage. This is no man who has a burden for the bus kids and a woman that's home. No burden for anybody. This is no fancy socialite woman with a husband that cares about the needs of the poor. Or this is no burdened woman with a husband at work that doesn't care a thing about what she cares about. This is a Roger Castile who loves with all of his heart, more than most any man I know, the souls of bus people. And here's a woman that loves more than most any woman I know, the souls of bus people. And one day she looked at him and she saw in him that they shared something. And he looked at her. And he wasn't as if, isn't she cute? And she said, isn't he cute? Now you listen to me. He won't stay cute. Someday he'll have hair like I have. Linda looked at me this morning, our daughter. She said, Dad, could I look at your hair a minute? I said, no. She said, I'm trying to decide which side the hair grows on. He said, over here, pull that way, or over here, pull that way. She said, from a distance, you can't tell. I said, then stay at a distance. I hate to tell you this, but brother, there was a day when I was cute. I was 6 months old. But there was a day when I was cute. Cuteness does not make happy marriages. And cute girls and pretty faces and pretty figures and pretty physiques and masculine countenances don't make happy marriages. Let me tell you, friends make happy marriages. And friends are not made. They're not won. They're not sought. They're not earned. Friends are gifts of God given to you when you least expect it. And all of a sudden God places in somebody over here the same burden that for a certain ministry or area or love that you have, and you look and say, I believe I'm looking in a mirror. I see a me. And that one looks at you and says, I think I'm looking in a mirror. I think I see a me. Quickly, I've got 1 minute. That's how you become friends of Jesus. Jesus said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And one day Jesus looked down. Please don't misunderstand me, but I'm his friend today, and he knows I am, and he's mine. One day he looked down and he said, I believe that fellow loves the same thing I love. I believe he hates the same things I hate. He's doing the same work I did when I was on earth. And Jesus and I became friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in him. How do you become his friend? You become his friend when you become interested in what he's interested in. And he sees in you another Jesus. And you see in him another you. This morning, if you want to have a friend, you just lose yourself in obeying the calls of Christ and the work that God has called you to do. And you will produce the atmosphere where you can engage God to give you one of his greatest gifts, a friend. Shall we pray? No one is leaving.